Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's Mirazza. Happy Monday to you! It's Cowboy and Patriot Elimination Day. We have fun with that. We're stunned to a cheese problem. And your best audio of the day, including Peter Schwartz, begging to be verified. It never ends. Here's the best of the DA show now.
Let's begin at AT&T Stadium, Jerry's World yesterday, where the Cowboys came in crossing their fingers. This would be the year they finally make a championship run. For the first time since 1995, the Cowboys have been waiting for a trip to at least the NFC Championship game or beyond the Super Bowl. It'll have to wait yet another year, as it always does, because the Dallas Cowboys were once again paper champions. Moving through an easily discarded group of average to below average teams of the NFC East. Yes, the Eagles made the playoffs, but we saw what type of team they were yesterday. The Giants were a dumpster fire all season long. Washington was a non-playoff competitor. In fact, if you looked at the Dallas Cowboys resume going into yesterday's game, what you realized was Dallas hadn't beaten a playoff caliber foe since week six. Seriously, you've got to go back to their win in Foxborough. Feel how long ago that was. How long ago does that game feel? Cowboys and Patriots back in mid-October. That's the last time the Cowboys beat a team that would make the playoffs. And I'm not counting week 18 because the Eagles didn't play any of their starters. So it was a long time, more than 10 weeks, since the Cowboys were able to knock off a squad that put their playoff caliber team out there on the field. And it showed, it reared its ugly head yesterday. As the Niners jumped out to the early lead, the Cowboys seemed asleep at the wheel. And ultimately, it was too much to overcome. Now, everyone will be pointing to the final play where Dak and the offense are trying to get into position for a couple of shots of the end zone. And with 14 seconds of play, run a quarterback draw, which ends when they can't spot the football correctly and timely, and the clock expires. People will be blaming the officials, including, apparently, Dak Prescott. However, it's misguided. Who's to blame for the Cowboys' loss? All of them. It's where we begin. You're cold open.
Prescott in the gun, runs up the middle to the 30. To the 25 and slides. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Did he spike it in time? Didn't get it spiked in time.
They haven't said anything official. The back judge, the man deepest away from the ball, he's got the clock. He's keeping track of the clock.
Scoreboard clock is running at zero.
Yeah, so he would be the one to determine where the clock was. Now, again, this could...
That's the end of the game.
Oh, wow. There you go.
We practice it. You hand it to the center. The umpire, all he has to do is usually come in and tap the ball. But, yeah, I mean, don't necessarily know exactly why the hit happened, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I know he's going to come in and touch the ball. We can say, yeah, he needs to be closer to the ball or whatever, but in hindsight, I mean, it's just tough.
We've got good players in there, really good players. And
San Francisco really played well, but even at that, they did play well. They outplayed us. But at the end, we still left ourselves a chance, and very disappointing that we couldn't get it done.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, Mark Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Brad Sham on Cowboys Radio with the call, Dak Prescott, and then you heard Jerry Jones as well. And so after this game, this was really disappointing. After the game, Dak Prescott was asked about the fans throwing debris onto the field. As the Cowboys were making their way off of the field, debris was being thrown down towards the players going into the tunnel. And Dak, when asked about this, said it was disappointing, said that that shouldn't happen, said that the players go out there and try their hardest, nobody's trying to lose, and then was asked about fans throwing debris towards the referees and said, quote, credit to them then. Credit to them. Meaning, good, I'm glad you threw it at the referees. The worst thing the Cowboys routinely do as an organization is blame other people, blame other parties, blame circumstance. It happens time and time again because that's what Jerry Jones does. We're great. How could we lose? It can't be our fault. It happens year after year after year. It's been happening for a quarter century. And the worst thing Dak could do, and I think we all respect Dak, he's always been a very conscientious leader. He's always been very mature in his press conferences. He always has a pretty solid professional demeanor. The worst thing he could have done yesterday is applaud blaming the officials. Because, dude, that ain't it. Let's go down the laundry list of why the Cowboys lost this football game. Number one, on that final play, you can't run that final play. You've got no timeouts. You can't risk not getting another playoff by running a quarterback sneak. At the moment it happened, Jim Nance is saying, whoa, why are they doing this? Every one of us watching said, whoa, why are you doing this? You've got no timeouts. So number one, you risk your season ending exactly that way without a throw into the end zone. Play call, Kellen Moore. Mike McCarthy green lighting that play call. Good teams, good coaches don't call that play. Number three, Dak Prescott. Get down, dude. Instead of trying to get all of the 17 yards, take 10, get down, save yourself a couple of seconds. Okay? Also, Dak, make sure you hand the football to the umpire or the official, because if you hand it to your center, that does nothing. The official has to touch the football before the next play is snapped. So you can give it to your center, and he can run laps around the field if he'd like. He can take it, show it to the fans, get a roar of the crowd, spike it. He can act like he's burping the baby. It don't matter. The play can't start until the umpire gets it. So you boneheads, doesn't matter until that guy with the stripes is handed the football, hand him the football. More so, the slow start. I mean, come on. The Cowboys win 12 games and then show up like they're sleeping through the first half of their playoff game. They had 7 yards after the first quarter. Seven. A team that scored 530 points the regular season, more than that team has ever scored, ever. And they had 7 yards in the first quarter. Hello, McFly, wake up. Also, penalties. How many mind-numbing, stupid decision penalties can the Cowboys have thrown on them before they look at themselves and say, that's on us? The entire day was scarred by penalty after penalty. 14 penalties! 14! By the way, this is not out of the realm of normalcy for the Cowboys. They led the league in penalties. So you tell me, were they right or not to throw them? Let's continue. How about, as I mentioned, the Cowboys' offense being remarkably shaky after Dak strained his calf in New England? It never got right, and yesterday it wasn't right as well. And if you dare want to blame the officials for taking away that final play, well, there's A, no guarantee you were going to get a touchdown from the 25-yard line anyway. B, you would just run right down the field on a bunch of patterns to the outside, out of bounds. So why wouldn't you run one more of those? They had worked so well. The Niners were basically gifting you that yardage. Run one more of those and get out of bounds. But also, man, were you gifted even that chance? Because that was a first down on the quarterback sneak on fourth down. First of all, the officials bailed you out on the re-spot, okay? But they got it right. Looked like they got it right. They re-spot it. Fourth down comes up. The Niners get the first down, except Trent Williams isn't standing or isn't set. The Niners shoot themselves in the foot. That's an egregious error. So the Cowboys are completely bailed out because even though they didn't stop the first down, Trent Williams isn't in his stance. I mean, you want to blame the officials? The officials? Dak, shame on you. I mean, come on, own this. And the entire Cowboys team has to own this. That was a loss, thorough. And the Niners went in there and handed a beating on the Cowboys in their house, just like the Cowboys always receive. 26 years and counting. They can't get to an NFC Championship game or a Super Bowl. This year is no different. And let's be perfectly frank here as well. In terms of the power structure of the NFC playoffs, the Cowboys were the fifth best team of the NFC playoffs this year. They just were. They ain't the Packers. They're not the Buccaneers. They're not the Rams. And clearly, they're not the Niners either. They were the fifth best team of their own conference. They weren't going anywhere anyway. It's just appropriate because remember early in the season, Amari Cooper said, "We're thinking Super Bowl." And remember early in the season when the Cowboys had that whitewash against the Broncos where they just got waxed 30-16? And Jerry said, "I never even considered losing a football game." The Cowboys got ahead of themselves, as they always do. It's an organization led by Jerry who are always ahead of themselves. And when they bust at the poker table, they blame everybody else. Mike McCarthy, blame the officials. Dak Prescott, blame the officials. Cowboys fan, blame the officials. Right, it's always the officials' fault. 26 years of this, it's always the officials, though. Clown show. Just so appropriate. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. The Cowboys, since that win against the Patriots, beat the Vikings, the Falcons, the Saints, Washington twice, the Giants, and the Eagles running their backups. You know what they all have in common? Non-playoff teams. Since that game against the Patriots, you know who they lost to? The Chiefs, the Raiders, the Cardinals, the Niners. Guess who all they had in common? Playoff teams. That's who the Cowboys were.
Smiling like Little Mo every morning. It's a momentous Monday.
Every day can be a better day despite the challenge. All you gotta do is leave it better than you found it. It's gonna get difficult to stand but hold your balance. I just say whatever cause there is no way you're around it.
I I just think people should know that if you stay positive, everything will be fine. You just eat, drink, and breathe positive thoughts. That's all you gotta do, and everything will be good.
Well, the Dallas Cowboys wrapped up their season with a disappointing end, obviously, yesterday. But credit to C.D. Lamb, because he and Alvin Kamara did something pretty cool this past holiday season. They actually teamed up and are giving back to the community in charitable ways and helping out people that need some help in their charitable, in their community, in their charitable endeavors, by raising money for them and families in need. It's called Sneaker Politics. And between CD and Alvin Kamara, they released some game day tees and hats, limited edition. They've got their faces on them and some cool graphics as well. They teamed up with some artists to put together some pretty badass logos, and 100% of whatever they make are going to families in the New Orleans community that are in times of need. They're both from the Bayou area. They're both from Louisiana. And CD's donation will be going toward the Elephant in the Room, which is a charity helping others who want to deal with or have to deal with family members with mental health issues or issues themselves. And same thing for Alvin Kamara, who has earmarked a number of his own important places to give the money to as well. And both these guys put their heads together and help develop really cool game day attire. And then also throwing tailgates and fundraisers for families. And so I thought this was cool because obviously they were both in the playoff hunts this year. They had really good teams, and they're playing important games in December and January. And even despite being tied up in the middle of the season, they found time to help design and help push forward a cause that was close to their hearts to help out families in need over the course of the holiday season. So both those guys deserve a tip of the cap and some major credit. And a lot of these football players and professional athletes in the middle of their seasons that still find time to do these types of things, I always applaud. I think you could be in your own space, your own world. These athletes are completely consumed by their game days and their game weeks and their jobs, obviously. But when they step out of that and do more is when I really applaud them, because I understand that they can be in their own little world at times. But both Kamara and CeeDee Lamb certainly deserve credit for doing what they did. And I just thought it was awesome as well that throughout this entire season, the Baltimore Ravens still decided to keep M.O. highlighted in their end zone for Little Mo. How cool was that, just to watch Ravens games in Baltimore and still see the M.O. lit up in the end zone? That was just, every single time I saw it, something that grabbed me. I just loved seeing that. That was really awesome. Hit us up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Steve tweets, Belichick can't win playoff games without Tom Brady. Mac Jones had a nice season, but see you next year. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk to Ben Volen, Boston Globe NFL columnist, about the aftermath of this loss and about that question as well, Mac Jones going forward. But I think it's pretty obvious that after the last 3 years, 2 one-and-dones and a non-playoff season, the Patriots have crashed back down to the rest of the pile of the NFL. And midway through this season, when the Patriots were on that win streak, 9-4, and they had beaten the Bills on the road in Buffalo, I had brought up the point that when I had tweeted 2 years ago, the Patriots have fallen to the third team of this division and it's not going to change for a while, I got dragged across the internet. Can you believe this guy? You should be fired. We had a good laugh about that. I read all these mean tweets about that because Old Takes Exposed had retweeted that and resurfaced that. But where we stand right now, The Bills are so much clearly a better organization with better players and a better quarterback. And the Dolphins just swept the Patriots. The Pats played five games against the Bills and Dolphins this year. They won one of those when winds were 50 miles an hour. So you tell me. I mean, I know that the Dolphins just fired Brian Flores and Tua may never be a star, but the Patriots have fallen all the way back down to the pack. And when they were rattling off all of those wins against garbage teams midway through the season, again, people said, you want to rethink the Patriots' funeral? Egg on your face. How stupid do you look? No, I'm not going to rethink that because, again, the dynasty's over. They're not winning Super Bowls. You know how hard it is to win a Super Bowl? They made that look easy because they got grandfathered into AFC championship games every year and number one and number two seeds by playing in a division where you could stack five or six wins every year. This year they lost four times in the division. One in the playoffs in humiliating fashion. So the aura of invincibility around the Patriots and that scary, uh-oh, Bill Belichick boogeyman.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That's been ripped away.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And remember that the best of the show is always available via podcast, so check us out there if you ever want to check out what you may have missed or want to hear again. The best of the is always available. Also, the full 4 hours available as well in podcast form. Just search The DA Show on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe, rate, and review. Soundcheck begins with a classic from Mike Tomlin. He was ready to go last night at Arrowhead Stadium. Pre-game on NBC. Here's his message to his team.
What will your final message be to your team before you send them out here?
Don't blink. If you're a blinker, cut your eyelids off. You know, this is not going to be for the faint of heart. We understand what type of game we're in. It's going to take a ridiculous effort and 60 minutes of it, and we're excited about it.
Don't blink. If you're a blinker, cut your eyelids off. Mike Tomlin always good for a colorful pre- or post-game quote. You mic him up, he says crazy things like that. He's got a Super Bowl ring. He's got two Super Bowl appearances. He's been the head coach in Pittsburgh for 15 years. He could one day be in the Hall of Fame. But I got to tell you, Tomlin did not have a great night last night. He did not. And did not have, going into this season, he doesn't have a lot of certainty. He's got a lot of uncertainty. Now, some of it's his own doing, some of it is not. I like Mike Tomlin. You don't fire Mike Tomlin. Tomlin found a way with ancient Big Ben, a ton of injuries, an offensive line that's been in constant turmoil and rebuild for how long now. He found them into the playoffs. Needed help, but steered this team into a couple of late season wins and into the playoffs. So that in of itself, the Steelers are never bad. They're always competitive no matter what. That's a Mike Tomlin thing. But, man, last night you win the coin toss and you decide to receive. Well, number one, the Steelers' offense is awful early in games. We know they're a second-half offense. It's taken basically like oiling up the Tin Man. It takes Big Ben like two quarters to get back into the flow of things.
Oil. Oil me. Oil me.
That's basically Big Ben now, or was, past tense. So you should win the toss and then decide to receive in the second half. But, okay, you decide to receive. Maybe you don't want to give the Chiefs the quick opening touchdown and find yourself down 7-0. So then your play calling off the bat on your first drive has to be aggressive. And instead it's run, pass, and then punt, 3-and-out. Okay, so now you've just given up winning the coin toss. Your defense then allows the touchdown to the end of the second quarter, end of the first half, so the Chiefs have the ability now to go back-to-back and a belly-to-belly, double dip, when they get the ball in the second half. So the offense didn't do the job early. The defense didn't do the job late in the second half, and you totally get screwed out of not deferring on the kickoff. That's the first thing. Second thing is, okay, maybe it's not a Mike Tomlin. Those wide receivers of the first half were garbage, absolute garbage for the Steelers, and not sure if it's their youth, not sure if it's their mentality. But boy, those Steelers wide receivers seem to consistently have wonderful talent and consistently seem to drop the ball in some significant moments, both literally and figuratively. Also on that front, play calling. Matt Canada, is he really the guy? And there might be big changes in that staff needed. Canada, Keith Butler, those are assistant coaches under Mike Tomlin that feel like it's run its course, or they were the wrong guys to promote, specifically Matt Canada. And so that's a big question mark about how Mike Tomlin runs his team. They found a way to beat the Bills. They found a way to beat the Titans. Those are two really good teams in the NFL playoffs, two of the best in the AFC. And they found their way into the postseason on a year where Big Ben was limping to the end. There's credit that goes to Mike Tomlin and all of that, but there's also question marks about why it's been so long since he's been able to win a playoff game. That's another part of this. I mean, Mike Tomlin has won most of his playoff games early in his career. In fact, the last four playoff performances, think about this. Last year, gave up 48 points of that debacle against the Browns. In 2018, home field advantage in the divisional round against the Jaguars, and the Jags went there and won and put up 45 points behind Blake Bortles. 2017, the Patriots, that was the AFC title game. Pats scored 36 points. And then yesterday, the Chiefs ran all over them. So that's a worry in Steelers land. Not saying that Mike Tomlin deserves to be fired. He doesn't. He deserves to keep his job. I'm just saying that there's problems with the Steelers over the last couple of years. They need a big-time quarterback solution here and a much better offensive play caller. Let's listen in on Peter Schwartz, who joined the Zach Gelb show, and apparently Gelb asked him about how often he applies to be verified on Twitter.
Why do we have to beg Twitter to get you verified?
I'd like to know. I don't think I should have to beg, but I just think it's, you know, I have something to say about it every now and then. When I see somebody pop up on the timeline and I'm wondering, how did this person get verified? And I haven't gotten verified, so I'm just trying to figure that out.
Does it annoy you that Mraz is verified and you're not?
No. He's a personality on the network and on WFAN, and So I think he deserves it. Mm-hmm. But I think I deserve it too, and I don't understand why I can't get verified. I go through the process, the appropriate process, every 30 days. I put down all the information that they ask for, and they keep declining me. So I don't know. I don't curse on Twitter.
I don't think that's generally a difference. There's a lot of people that curse that get verified on Twitter.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I I start to think sometimes during the day, maybe, Zach, that I should start cursing a little bit.
Oh.
Maybe I should insult. Maybe there's a dark side of me that needs to come out, that if I start to show that dark side.
This is so sad. This is just incredibly sad now. Mraz, is Pete saying he applies every 30 days?
Yes, I got reconfirmation from Ryan Hickey on that. Yes, he applies every 30 days. When the 30 days is up and he's been declined, he re-goes through the application process.
This is so sad. This is so sad. Also, I don't curse. Pete, you might not understand how Twitter works here. Nobody's being unverified because of vulgarity.
In fact, a couple more F-bombs and less pictures of your kids playing deck hockey, and maybe it would be verified.
And that's a great point. Maybe Twitter's just like, why would we verify this guy? It's all pictures of his kids. It's all pictures of his kids and reports on meaningless minor league sports. Why would we verify them? Why? And by the way, Zach with a classic move. Do you resent Mraz for being verified? And Pete pauses. Pete actually does, but realized he can't bellyache about that. But it absolutely does. So now we know that both Paul Dottino and Peter Schwartz are bent out of shape about your popularity.
I don't think that's true, Pete. I don't. But Gelb knew exactly what he was doing by asking that question. He could have asked about anybody, and he knew what he was doing.
Totally. Oh, it's just so sad. What, by the way, why did Gelb have Schwartz on? Was that just before an update, or
yes,
did he have him on for Islanders' new arena? You know,
Schwartz happened to be filling in Friday, so Zach had to wedge that in there and make sure he asked that question. And I do think, by the way, Twitter has announced a new rule. For every time you send a picture of an autographed piece of memorabilia for somebody who's died, you get a year off from being verified.
So Schwartz is then eligible for Twitter verification in the 2040s.
Right. The Veterans Committee can decide.
And finally, here's a caller to WFAN in New York overnight show the other day admitting that he had a weird tradition for playoff games when he went to sleep.
Matt is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Matt?
Yo, Sal.
What's up, Matt?
Yo, Sal, I just got to be honest with you. Dude, you are the best. You are the perfect Flid. You know what a Flid is?
No.
Oh, it's an effing Long Island D-bag. And I am the same way. And you are the man. Like, I wake up in the middle of the night and you're just screaming at someone, and I'm like, oh, dude, this guy rules. Like, I just woke up on the floor, diehard 49er fan, with a Ronnie Lott jersey on with no pants on, and just was like, I got to call this guy because he just woke me up, just geeking out because some jerk was on Twitter. And that's the best.
Well, no, it wasn't even that. I think before was, and thanks for the call, Matt, put some pants on. I mean, will you? Come on, now. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean we don't need to. I mean, we don't need to hear about that. I mean, I don't want to. Come on, now.
That's Sal Licata on the overnights on WFA to New York. Everything about that phone call, A, is perfect, and B, should give you a little bit more context to where Mraz is from.
Dude, you're such a Flid. You're just such. You know what a Flid is, man? You know what a Flid is?
What's a Flid?
FN Long Island D-bag, and I'm proud of you because I'm one of those guys as well. I'm sitting here in nothing but my Ronnie Lott jersey, no pants on, just high-fiving my cat because you went after some guy on Twitter. Like, that's it right there. If you were looking for some context to where Mraz is from, that's it right there.
Have you heard of that term, Mraz? Flid?
No, and if I had 4 minutes to include Salicata, he never did either. This sounds like one guy who made this up to his friends and then just assumes that everybody on Long Island knows that term. And proudly, too. Who wants to be a Flid?
Right, yeah. Both you and I are cut from the same cloth. We're both effing Long Island D-bags.
Thanks, I guess. Thanks.
Just like Ronnie Lott, I once cut off my pinky finger too, just to make sure that I was ready for the playoff game with Sydney in nothing but my Ronnie Lott jersey.
No pants on. Let's hope it's the pinky that's cut off.
And that's your sound check. Bogues, what could be more sad than Peter Schwartz applying every 30 days and getting declined every 30 days for Twitter verification?
I'm just happy he knows that there's still like an approval process, not just filling out the paperwork correctly and hitting send. I thought that's where he was going at that point, talking to Zach about that. So I'm glad he at least knows that once he sends all the info in, someone still needs to look at it. And I would suggest, if he's the Islander beat reporter, unless I'm missing it, go to an Islander game. Has he been to one yet to cover with a WFAN mic flag? Has he gone to an Islander game and sat? I haven't seen that picture yet of him.
He must be, because he's been bent over backwards trying to get into the new arena and talk about the new arena. He's had to have been to the new arena.
He has. I think it's a bunch as a fan, though. I think he covers all the practices and makes sure he finds somebody to give him free tickets and he takes the kids to the games.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, it would definitely help if he actually covered games instead of just skater rounds. Belichick, the hoodie, the line. Bills by 3, Bills by 4. This is going to be a tight game, a close game. We saw what Bill did with the 50-mile-an-hour winds a little over a month ago on that Monday night. Could the Bills do it? Could they shake their nemesis? Could they exorcise the demons? Yeah. They did all of that. Plus, they humiliated the Patriots. In fact, it was an ass-kicking. It was a thorough 100% 3-hour and 15-minute ass-kicking.
Fires one into the end zone, and it is caught. Dawson Knox makes the catch in the end zone. It's a Buffalo touchdown. How did he make that happen?
Play fake to Singletary. A zip to the end zone. Touchdown. He gets Knox again.
And instead, Josh gives it to Devin Singletary. Headed towards the end zone. Did he make it? No signal yet. Yes, touchdown. It took him an hour and a half to single touchdown.
Singletary runs it right, bounces it outside of the 10, to the 5, to the end zone.
The buses.
Second touchdown of the night for Devin Singletary.
Start
and the Bills
buses.
Are pouring it on the Patriots
night.
Here on the opening half.
Embarrassing.
Into the end zone looking for Sanders. He's got him. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Play fake and a zipped pass. Oh, what a cradle catch by Gabriel Davis. And he walks into the end zone. Touchdown.
I mean, like.
The snap. Josh keeps it out. Play action. Fires to the end zone. You called it, Eric. Touchdown, Buffalo. The pass to rookie Tommy Doyle. The big man. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bills. They are pouring it on now. This game's out of control.
That'll be in the last montage.
We just couldn't do much anything.
Awesome!
Damn straight. The call's courtesy of the Bills Radio Network, Westwood One, and the Patriots Radio Network.
Well, that's going to leave a mark.
For the first time in NFL history, not playoff history, the first time in NFL history, a team didn't force a punt, a field goal, or a turnover. That right there is the single worst defensive performance any defense has ever had in NFL history. I just want to reiterate this once again. Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots just had the single worst defensive performance ever. Ever. None of those points were scored on turnovers. There was no pick six, scoop and score, or special teams touchdown. Nope. They didn't force one punt, not one turnover, not one field goal attempt. No defense has ever, I just want to reiterate this, ever in NFL history went 0 for 7 in stopping a touchdown. The Pats went 0 for 7. 0 for 7. Here's your Buffalo Bills drives on the game. I won't even tell you what the end result was because you already know. 9 plays, 70 yards, 5 minutes. 10 plays, 80 yards, 5 minutes. 10 plays, 81 yards, 6 minutes. 4 plays, 89 yards, 2 minutes. 6 plays, 58 yards, 4 minutes. 9 plays, 77 yards, 6 minutes. 3 plays, 39 yards, 90 seconds. The Buffalo Bills held the football as an offense 7 times. And 7 times, they scored a touchdown. The only time they held the football and didn't score a touchdown was to kneel out the end of the game. No offense ever had done that. Josh Allen was brilliant. Brian Daboll, perfect game plan. And the Bills wanted blood. And it was a beautiful thing to watch. They hung a clown suit around Bill Belichick unlike anyone has ever done. Ever. Ever. That right there is the single most humiliating loss of Bill Belichick's career. They may have lost by more points, although even that I don't know about. But, okay, the Wildcat game. That's a bad one. 08, Dolphins couldn't stop the Wildcat. The Chiefs going to Foxborough and winning going away, and that led to the we're on to Cincinnati. Losing to the Giants of the Super Bowl as a 17-point favorite. Okay. Nothing is ever as humiliating as that. That's a playoff game, and you're the only defense ever to not force a punt, a field goal, or a turnover. Ever. Ever. That right there is humiliation. That right there is embarrassment. That right there is annihilation. That right there is a clown show. And it's because the Bills hung the clown suits on Bill. Now let's talk about this even more. That's right there what the Patriots have done to so many others. What we watched on Saturday was a superior team versus an inferior team. And you said, get the inferior team off of my TV set because this is now embarrassing. They don't even belong on the same field. Why are they even here taking up my night? That's what the Patriots always used to do to everybody else. Get them off my TV. I don't want to see this garbage game anymore. You start feeling bad for the team that the Patriots pounded into submission because they're getting outcoached, out-executed, and they just look like they don't belong. That was the Pats on Saturday. And I'm telling you this right now as I talked to Ben Volen last hour from the Boston Globe. That right there torpedoes the Patriots' playoff rep forever. Forever. I'm not saying they can't ever win another playoff game. They certainly might. They certainly will in my lifetime. But once Mystique leaves because somebody humiliated you, it doesn't come back. You don't just get to reset aura and mystique. The Bills poured it on because they knew they could. They knew that everything they ran, they were going to run a touchdown. They're up 30, and they're still throwing the football. That was, we know we're going to embarrass you, and you can't do anything about it. And once some opponent holds the bully up against the locker and punches him in the face, and the bully cries for mercy. Everybody else wants a piece of the bully. Everybody. And now everybody in the league says, yeah, bring on the Pats. We don't fear them. We don't worry about that. The world watched that. It's over. And 3 years ago, we held a funeral after Brady was eliminated and the dynasty was dead. It's dead. It was dead then. It's even deader now. They were 9-4 midway through this season. Oh, you want to rethink the funeral? No. No, I don't. Because you know what you learned on Saturday? Was that Bill Belichick's a really good coach during a regular season to put pieces together and beat bad teams. They beat the Falcons. They swept the Jets. They even beat a Titans team that had nobody playing for them because everyone was injured. They beat all these bad teams. You know what's gone is number 12, who's still winning, who's still winning playoff games. And number 12 on Saturday night gave you a puncher's chance. Your defense was garbage. But every time Brady got the football, he at least gave you a puncher's chance to score. Mac didn't. Mac was awful. And I saw a very interesting dynamic unfold on Patriots Twitter. You can't blame this on Mac Jones. It's not Mac Jones' fault. Mac Jones showed up. No, he didn't. The first touchdown, or the first interception, rather, was a wonderful play by Micah Hyde. Wonderful. Coming over top, grabbing the interception. It's a good throw by Mac Jones. I mean, that's just a great play by the safety. Everything thereafter was crap. Everything. Another interception on the deflection. Mac could have moved the football. It was 27-3 at the end of the first half. It's crap. So, yeah, the defense gets the brunt of this because that was historically awful. Mac didn't compete in that game. That offense didn't compete in that game. Not at all. They weren't in that game. Forget that last touchdown that didn't matter. They scored 10 points the entire night. Mac's going to get better, but he's never going to be Justin Herbert. He's never going to be Josh Allen. He's never going to be Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. He's never going to be Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. That's not who Mac is. That on Saturday was what happens when the great Tom Brady walks out the door and Belichick is left to be a coach of a team that's good, not great. Good, not great. Belichick's always going to beat bad teams with bad coaching. He's brilliant at that. But now it's going to come down to playoff games, good teams, and his X factor is out the door. And you see what happens. Now, that defense, even if Brady was playing, they'd probably lose that football game anyway. But think about all of the situations that Brady bailed the Patriots out of. Down double digits in the Super Bowl against one of the greatest defenses of the era, the Legion of Boom. Helped out also by throwing on the goal line. Down 28-3. In the Super Bowl. The comeback against the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. These are Brady bailouts. And Bill doesn't have the Brady bailout anymore. And we saw that on Saturday. The playoff rep of the Big Bad Patriots, it's gone. It's over. Because number 12... helped supplement Belichick's genius to such a grand degree, they felt unbeatable. You can't ever feel that intimidated ever again playing the Pats. It'll never happen. It'll never happen again. Because he's the greatest quarterback that's ever lived, and he was teamed with an excellent head coach. And the tandem of that won 6 Super Bowls. But now, and here, this, I want you to remember right now where you were when you heard this. Belichick's ego is going to get in the way here. Here's why. 10 years ago, he was asked about how long he would coach. He said, I'm not going to be like Marv Levy and coach into my 70s. I'm not going to be like Marv Levy. Unnecessary shot at a Hall of Fame head coach. I'm not going to be like Marv Levy. Hang on to the bitter end. Coach into my 70s. Like, that was pathetic. Now he's going to be 70 years old this offseason. Was asked after the game. He says, yes, I'm going to come back and coach. That's my plan. Things changed. It wasn't so pathetic anymore to look at Marv Levy down your nose at a freaking American hero, by the way, who fought in World War II. Oh, I would be coaching like Marv Levy in my 70s. No, but he is going to be coaching into his 70s. Why? Because it's not pathetic if you're still good at it, which Marv Levy was, but also because Bill Belichick's ego, he wants to chase down Don Shula's wins record. Now, he's more than 20 wins behind Don Shula, and he wants that record. And so, because of Belichick's ego, he's going to stick around. He's going to coach 2, 3, 4 years. And the Patriots might want to move on. They might feel like, you know what, maybe it's time for a fresh start, fresh set of eyes. We're not very good anymore. We're missing the playoffs. We're going one and done. Remember, the Patriots now have a longer playoff win drought than the Houston Texans. Okay? The Patriots' last playoff win was the Super Bowl in 2018. The Texans won a playoff game in 2019. You might start thinking, like, well, maybe a fresh set of eyes might not be bad. And he's going to keep hanging on because he's going to want those wins. And the more average seasons he stacks on the tail end of this, the more it's going to upset that legacy. The more it's going to color a little bit differently. We talked about this during the season as well. Why suddenly is Bill Belichick nice to the media? Apologizing because he was snippy? Coming back the next day apologizing? Patiently listening through a media member's dog barking or baby crying? Or the woman that asked the New Year's resolution question after a loss? He knows he's going to be around for a while. He knows. And he knows that this might not be a pretty end. But he's got to hold on to get that all-time wins record. His ego's going to get in the way. And he's going to be 8-9, 9-8, 10-7. To make sure they stack wins. I don't think they'll ever be terrible. Belichick's too good for that. They're never going to be a 4-win, 5-win outfit. But there's going to be now 4, 5, 6 post-Brady seasons that look real average, real mortal, real mediocre. And we're in the middle of this. We're in the middle of this right now. If the Dolphins had a quarterback, the Patriots would easily be the third best team of this division. Easily. And I'll tell you this, if you're a Jets fan, you don't fear having to hop the Patriots right now if Zach Wilson becomes a star. Because, okay, chasing down the Bills, tough. But chasing down the Dolphins and or the Patriots with Tua and or Mac Jones or a new head coach in Miami and an aging one in New England, the mountain's not so steep anymore. People will say it's one game, it's one game, it's one game. Mac was still a rookie. It's good they made the playoffs. That's all fine and good. You can point to games in the playoffs where a dynasty fell. You can do it. Anybody who's a Cowboys fan remembers that Cardinals game. 97, Jake Plummer and the Cardinals went to Texas Stadium and won. And that was it. Shut the door, turn out the lights. That the dynasty is dead. The Cardinals just came here and won. That's it. It's over. That's what we saw on Saturday. That was it. Boom. And the Bills know it. They know they're so much better than the Patriots that what happened on that Monday night with 50-mile-an-hour winds to them was so unfair because it was not a reflection of who they were or how much better they were than the Patriots. They know it. They know it. That was as complete an ass-kicking as you will ever find. And it was delightful. Maybe I'll watch that game again today. Thank you, Bills. Thank you from America. By the way, Mraz, how do we celebrate Patriots Elimination Day? I had a nice big bourbon that I cracked open, a wonderful Christmas present from the Bourbon Bell. Beautiful new bottle of extraordinary high-end bourbon. I had it closed. I had it sealed since Christmas. And once that whistle went off, poured myself a nice big glass and enjoyed. How do we celebrate Patriots Elimination Day for the third straight season?
Oh, I celebrated by taking right to the dance floor immediately as the game was winding down. I did a little House of Pain jump around. I did a little belly flop onto the dance floor. That was fun.
Really?
And then the following morning, just to make sure I fully soaked it in, I treated that game rewatch like it was a London game. 9 a.m., couple pancakes, couple eggs, sat down, just smiled and listened to Ian and Charles Cole all over again.
Which was the better version, the Saturday night in real time or the Sunday morning over pancakes?
I think probably the Sunday morning over pancakes, because it's a total reassurance that what happened wasn't a dream and they are just some ordinary waste of a playoff spot, that Bill Belichick's Patriots now have become Marvin Lewis's Bengals, and that was truly, truly delightful to soak in.
Now, Saturday night, Mraz was at a wedding. Filled with Bills fans. This was the shotgun wedding that was improperly timed and scheduled during a playoff Saturday. We've got to know how our buddy Buffalo Mark handled being at this wedding instead of at that game. By the way, if it was a Bills mafia, that was a mafia hit on Saturday night against the New England Patriots. They're zipped up in a bag and dumped into a river.
That was somewhere. A good headline, D.A. I know that was your way of reassuring that we saw the headline. That was a swing.
Remember that the D.A. show is available on your smart speaker. So tell your smart speaker each and every morning to play CBS Sports Radio. Have us on around the house, 6 until 10 Eastern time, 3 until 7 Pacific. Only 6 true rookie quarterbacks have ever won their first playoff start. The 99 Buccaneers, led by Sean King, elite defense. The 04 Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger, elite defense. 08 Ravens and Joe Flacco, elite defense. 09 Jets and Mark Sanchez, elite defense. The 2011 Texans, led by TJ Yates, who played another rookie quarterback in the Bengals, Andy Dalton, and then 2012 Seahawks, Russell Wilson, who also played a rookie in RG3 and whose Seahawks had a dominant defense. If you want to win a playoff game with a rookie, forget winning a Super Bowl. That's not going to happen. But if you want to win a playoff game with a rookie, you better have an elite defense. And the Patriots' defense was far from it. They were pathetic on Saturday because the Bills ripped them open and showed them their beating hearts. Now, this situation was a sight to behold at a wedding that Mraz attended. On Saturday night, one of, how are you connected to the bride? Danielle's what?
Danielle's cousin, and close enough that Danielle was a bridesmaid, yes.
Okay, so Danielle's cousin was the bride. And her husband has a lot of family from upstate New York, correct?
Yes, and also, I wasn't aware of this, the family that is from Long Island, all of which are Raider fans.
Okay. So there was a lot of upstate New Yorkers and Western New Yorkers that were at this wedding, and one of which was a friend of yours, Buffalo Mark. He had been a lifelong Bills fan. He also has season tickets in the family for years. And this wedding was supposed to be on the Saturday of conference championship weekend. And so, no football. It got moved back 2 weeks. Do we know why they moved it back?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was never set for that weekend, but that was the early date they were picking. They moved it because they are having a baby shower 2 weeks after that date. So, they didn't want those two functions very close together.
Of all the things, they pick Saturday night of Wild Card Weekend, and the Bills end up playing in that window against the hated Patriots at home. And so you have a room full of Bills fans that can't believe they're at a wedding during this game. Now, we talked about this on Friday, thinking that it was only Buffalo Mark who was perhaps a fan of the show, or not even. He just, you knew Buffalo Mark, and you were going to be sitting next to him, and you texted him, and just we were wondering how crushed he was. When you showed up at this wedding, what you realized was tons of Bills fans of the building, and a lot of them listened to the show.
Yes, yeah, I was shocked. I met a couple people who knew who I was, and the early walk into this wedding, by the way, everybody arrived at about halftime of the Bengal-Raider game. I was getting a ton of thank yous. Hey, thank you for saying something. Thank you for speaking up.
Wow.
It was like a game changer. So much so that, yeah, obviously, the bride, her name's Olivia. You know, I know everybody heard what Sean said on the DA show.
Oh, no. She said this on a microphone?
Yeah. And basically from the dance floor, and said, essentially, look, just when we actually get married, because they were getting married at the hall, and when the important dances come up, if you could please put your phones down then to enjoy those moments. Other than that, it was basically fair game. Watch away at the tables.
Wow. So even Olivia had to punt on hoping everybody was paying attention to the wedding because she just saw so many Bills fans.
Yeah, and too much heat. Absolutely too much heat was in the kitchen. I had brought attention to the problem, and a lot of people who normally would have been scared off and angry on their own, they had a rally person to get behind, and it was me.
Really? Really? So you ended up being the guy that started the prison riot.
Essentially, I was. Essentially, I was. Yes. You heard loud roars from, there was a bar pretty close in the restaurants for some of the groom's family who were Raider fans. His car was driving down the field, so they felt free at that point. We're going to watch the game. It was fantastic. So much so that you think night out, everybody out with their wives and stuff. Wives and husbands sat apart from each other at tables so that the husbands could gather around the phones and watch the games.
So as the Bills are kicking the asses of the Patriots up and down the field, is there joy in the wedding that they're doing it, or is there this kind of like, damn it, I wish I was there from Buffalo Mark and others?
Pure joy. Pure joy. And full disclosure, getting up at the bar to get a drink, I missed kickoff of the Bills-Pats game, and I got Mark yelling seven tables away at me, putting the touchdown sign up that Knox had already gotten in the end zone. I thought he still had another 5 minutes. People, there was a loud roar. And in fact, I would say it added to it because, DA, by the time you got to the third quarter and this game was getting in hand, you even saw people starting to abort their phones a little bit, going, okay. And there was a great singer who was flown in from Ireland, Tony, and it became, we're celebrating the wedding. We're celebrating the Bills winning. People are dancing, having a good time. The Raider fans are still angry on their side of the tables. It was crazy. But, yeah, nobody even enjoyed a meal next to their wives or loved ones because they couldn't stand. They were embarrassed by us. But they knew there was no holding back because we had strength in numbers.
Did Buffalo Mark end up having an okay night despite not being able to go to this game even though he had tickets?
Great night. Great night. Now, good. I'd be lying if I told you he wasn't also firing off a lot of same-game parlays, but he was having a great night. He was enjoying. I was giving him help and slapping hands. There was a lot of good discussion. D.A., there was even a point in the third quarter as this game's out of hand where, okay, you get up and there's like another big dance going on that everybody's a part of, and I look over and there's a female that I had not met. I found out her name was Jillian, and I think she's sitting there filming the moment on the dance floor, and there she is staring, watching the game on her phone while standing up at the dance floor. Everybody. And the moment you went to the bathroom, the phones were carried on top of the urinal. It was a traveling watch party this night at the wedding.
That's awesome. I'm glad it worked out well for Buffalo Mark, who got his ass in a plane and flew on a day before that his beloved Bills were going to be playing in the playoffs, and he could have been at that game. I'm glad that it worked out for everybody. I'm glad that they had a good time. You know, my roommate in college was a huge Bills fan, season ticket holder since the 80s or something, so he lived through all those 90s years. He took me to a game as well in Orchard Park, and I know just how passionate and committed Bills fan is, and I just love everybody in upstate New York and western New York and their diehard passion for their Bills and their joy now that they're winning. And boy, that was just the most beautiful ass-kicking possible. So I'm glad it was a good day because going into that weekend, I was angry. I was angry for those people that had to be ripped out of their their season tickets to go check out a shotgun wedding, although I probably should have stopped calling it a shotgun wedding so often. Apparently, what, your mother-in-law was unhappy with?
Well, no, my aunt-in-law, I guess. I mean, she, that was a shotgun wedding. Even the bride was like, shotgun wedding? I'm like, well, I mean, yeah, there's no literal shotguns. I don't know what the term would be. That
well,
was
the shotgun wedding was because they got pregnant and had to have a quick... But that was public, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess their belief was, well, it didn't have to be quick. We chose for it to be quick. But, yeah, so that was...
Well, they weren't going to get married unless they got pregnant.
At this point...
That's the definition of a shotgun wedding.
Yeah, I get... Look, I'm certainly not killing you for it. That was the only thing I got lipped for this weekend, was that term was used over and over again. That's where, I guess, they draw the line. Watch as much football and bet on it as much as you want at the wedding. Just don't tell me I'm at a shotgun wedding.
Look, was it a football move? You have to make 2 feet down, football possession. By definition, it's a shotgun wedding. Definition, that's not a football move. Standing by with our headline of this morning is a kind Sir Andrew Bogish. Mr. Bogues?
These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit Progressive.com. The Eagles did technically play yesterday afternoon in Tampa, but put up little resistance for three quarters, losing 31-15, scoring twice late to make things look slightly prettier. Nick Sirianni, one and done in his postseason coaching debut.
We know that you can't make mistakes like that in the playoffs against a really good football team, and we did. I don't want to say the moment got too big for him. I just think we made some mistakes.
Jalen Hurts picked off twice. The run game managed just 95 yards. They're averaging 159 during the season. Tom Brady touchdown passes to Mike Evans and Rob Gronkowski, while Keyshawn Vaughn and Gio Bernard ran for points. Then came the Niners' near collapse, escaping Dallas 23-17 when the Cowboys ran out of time on their final possession. Debo Samuel, 110 scrimmage yards and a rushing score. And the Chiefs sent Ben Roethlisberger home with a 42-21 rout of his Steelers. Mike Tomlin, a little sweeter postgame after cutting off eyelids pregame.
Man, he was seven. It's been an honor and a pleasure, man. I don't have the words.
Big Ben says he's going to go home and be a dad and a husband from now on. Patrick Mahomes, meanwhile, five touchdown passes. Travis Kelce caught one of them and threw his own. The Rams and Cardinals finish off the weekend tonight. The winner plays in Tampa on Sunday, followed by Bills, Chiefs, Bengals, Titans, Niners, Packers on Saturday. Draymond Green still out. Steph Curry now out with a sore right hand. The Warriors losing in Minnesota 119-99. Steve Kerr's team outscored by 24 over the final 16 minutes, missing 16 shots in a row at one point.
I think we ran out of gas. I think fatigue showed up at that stage of the game and in the fourth. And Minnesota got hot. They played really well during that stretch. And it was too much for us.
The Dubs say Green's lingering calf soreness is related to a lower back problem. He'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. And Kevin Durant expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a sprained MCL. And now we get stunned.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
A legal battle, that is, over cheese is now over. A group of Swiss and French cheesemakers losing their case for a U.S. trademark for their Gruyere cheese. They argued that only their cheese, made in the Gruyere region of Switzerland, should have the name, like true champagne is sparkling wine from the Champagne region of France. I guess Roquefort cheese and cognac brandy also have the same protections. Really? The U.S. Dairy Export Council, among those that opposed this request, arguing that we Americans understand Gruyere for its characteristics, not its place of origin, and a U.S. district judge agreed. So anybody can make Gruyere, not a bunch of French or Swiss dudes in the Gruyere region of Switzerland. So get your Gruyere from wherever you want, and I guess the floor is yours, Shawnee, for your pseudoscientific year of the Gruyere breakdown. Mm-hmm.
I did not know that Gruyere was made in a region. I didn't know, obviously, that there was a region named Gruyere. But you're saying Swiss and French cheesemaker. So why aren't Swiss people putting up the big fight about Swiss cheese? Why does it always come down to the Gruyere? You would think Swiss is way more popular. Why are they so prideful about what Gruyere cheese is called? No?
Yeah, I can't speak to their love for Swiss. I'm not sure if they've already lost that legal battle or if Swiss cheese is a weird Americanized version of something, but this one was just about Gruyere, this fight.
Don't tell me there's a Gouda in the Alps somewhere. Don't tell me that.
Yeah, I don't think there's a Gouda.
I think we might have lost DA on my Gouda line.
He's given up. He's on a search now for a region to make cheese from.
Gouda Alps. Okay, why don't we take
But I can
a-
see him talking, Sean. This is the hard part. His mouth's going a mile a minute. His hands are waving on the Zoom and on Twitch where I can see him moving, but there's nothing. He's waving to us, but we got nothing.
He's still talking. All right, we're going to take a break here, figure out what's going on with DA's audio, and see if he knows if there's a Gouda in the Alps.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Perez attended the wedding over the weekend where there were tons of Bills fans drawn away from the wedding to watch the Buffalo Bills.
We're celebrating the wedding. We're celebrating the Bills winning. People are dancing, having a good time. The Raider fans are still angry on their side of the tables. It was crazy, but yeah, nobody even enjoyed a meal next to their wives or loved ones because they couldn't stand. They were embarrassed by us.
Go stuff yourselves!
But they knew there was no holding back because we had strength in numbers.
Can I have a roll, please?
Did Buffalo Mark end up having an okay night despite not being able to go to this game even though he had tickets?
Great night. Great night. Now, good. I'd be lying if I told you he wasn't also firing off a lot of same game parlays, but he was having a great night.
Going into that weekend, I was angry. I was angry for those people that had to be ripped out of their season tickets to go check out a shotgun wedding, although I probably should have stopped calling it a shotgun wedding so often, apparently. What, your mother-in-law was unhappy with?
Well, no, my aunt-in-law, I guess. I mean, that was a shotgun wedding. Even though Bride was like, shotgun wedding? I'm like, well, I mean, yeah, there's no literal shotguns.
It's 100 years ago you're talking about. Things have changed.
Well, I don't know what the term would be.
The shotgun wedding was because they got pregnant and had to have a quick... But that was public, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess their belief was, well, it didn't have to be quick. We chose for it to be quick. But, yeah, so that was...
They weren't going to get married unless they got pregnant.
Your view is what? You want them to bring pistols to the game?
Do I say they should bring pistols?
That's
the definition of a shotgun wedding.
Yeah, I get... Look, I'm certainly not killing you for it. That was the only thing I got lip for this weekend was that term was used over and over again. That's where I guess they draw the line. Watch as much football and bet on it as much as you want at the wedding. Just don't tell me I'm at a shotgun wedding.
Well, what does it have to do with now?
Look, was it a football move? You have to make 2 feet down... Football possession, by definition, it's a shotgun wedding. Definition, that's not a football move.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Who had the more embarrassing wild card weekend? We asked you guys, and 56% of you said it's the Cowboys over the Patriots. At least the Patriots and Cowboys didn't make any bold proclamations at the coin toss. Remember, in 2003... Seahawks-Packers wildcard game. Matt Hasselbeck guarantees a score after Seattle won the overtime coin flip. Little did he know he would throw the pick six to Al Harris. Whoops. And CBS Sports Radio host Zach Gelb, analytics tells us, was in Buffalo to witness the Bills rise to prominence over the lackluster Patriots. The host of the Matt Rhule Coaches Show consumed copious amounts of Buffalo wings during that trip. Zach Gelb, actually a diehard Patriots fan, so went up. Made the drive up to Buffalo and watched the Patriots get their butts handed to them. That's a tough drive. That's a tough 7-hour drive back, 6-hour drive back to the city after that one. Woo! So good show from today. Break it down everything from the NFL weekend. Tonight is Rams and Cardinals, so tomorrow morning, first in the morning reaction to the final wild card game of the weekend and a Trash Tuesday, so be here. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headline. So thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership Disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.